Welcome to the Fitness and Lifestyle Podcast with me, your host, Danny Kennedy, and you're listening to episode number 62. Hey guys, welcome to this week's episode, and today we are going to be joined by the founder of Progression Fitness Club, Ben Scolia. We're going to be chatting about group fitness training. There's plenty of gems in today's episode, so I look forward to sharing today's interview with you guys. All right guys, I'm here today with the founder of Progression Fitness, Ben Scolia. So Ben, thanks heaps for joining us today, man.
Thanks for having me.
No problem at all, mate. So guys, as I mentioned in the intro, Ben is the founder of Progression Fitness, a group training, personal training business, I guess. So Ben, to kick things off, mate, do you want to give us a bit of a timeline about, from when you started Progression to where it is now, kind of where you started and what you're doing with it today?
Yeah, so I started Progression as a single location at the Tan. It's an outdoor fitness group with 20 people in 2008. So coming up to 9 years that we've been operating for. So started in 2008 as a single location. Over the next 7 years, up to 2015, built up to 8 locations and 22 sessions a week.
All in Melbourne?
All in Melbourne, yeah. Had a little stint in Sydney, a little stint in Sydney for 3 years, where we had 3 locations up there. It was pretty tough commuting back and forth.
So you were going to Sydney?
I went up to set it up.
Yeah.
I went up there for a month, got out of Melbourne for a winter.
Yeah,
and set it up. Set up a group at the Domain, North Sydney and Centennial Park.
Yep.
And then put trainers on to run it. So I'd go up and sort of manage it from afar. And that was challenging. You couldn't really maintain the quality that I'd like.
Managing staff and whatnot?
Yeah.
Yep.
So that was 3 years. It was good. We got up to about 60 members across the 3 locations in Sydney. So that was a success in one sense. It was just too much management.
Yep.
Yeah, yep. And also to manage the locations down here as well and try and grow the Melbourne brand.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. 2013, sort of the indoor concept was born.
Yep.
When I first started in 2008, it was really, outdoor fitness was all the rage, indoor fitness. There wasn't the boutique clubs that are around now. Indoor was sort of a strength based program, not so much as a high intensity option that you see today. So the indoor concept was sort of first thought of around 2013, but didn't really take off until 2015 when we brought on myself and Olivia, my partner, brought on Scott and Alex Pendlebury as business partners. 2015 the indoor center was born. And we kicked it off in January 2016.
Awesome. And then, so what does that involve now? So for those that don't know what Progression Fitness Club do, like what are the services you guys offering at the moment?
So we tried to make it work with the outdoor. And again, it was too much management of spreading our resources across indoor and outdoor.
Yep.
In Progression Fitness Indoor is strength training, HIIT training, we've got cycle, we've got yoga, and we still offer a running program as well.
Yeah.
So what we wanted the best options under the one roof.
Yeah.
So you don't have to have a yoga membership, a boxing membership, a HIIT membership and strength. It's all at the one place. We have 40 classes a week, and our niche market is a training club. We're not really a beginners, one size fits all. It's a training club. It's an intermediate and up. We like to market ourselves as for the fit people looking to step up and go higher.
For those of you that don't know, I am a trainer at Progression Fitness as well. And I think the biggest point of difference I've found anyway compared to anywhere else I've trained people out of is the, as you mentioned, like the quality of training and the effort that the members put in. It's almost like it's their I wouldn't say it's their profession, but it's like this training is their sport type of thing. Yeah. So they come in and actually want to get something out of it, book in for, you know, the same things each week type of thing, and aim to actually progress. It's not just to tick the box off that they've been to the gym.
Yeah.
Fair to say?
That's very, very true. And that's, I guess, that's the message that we've tried to instill in these people, that, like, you can always train at a higher level. You put in the effort, it's all about lifestyle as well. Like it's a pretty competitive atmosphere. Not intimidating, but definitely competitive.
Yeah, sure. So we're starting out. You mentioned it was obviously outdoor. Now you're indoor. What were some of the struggles when you first started out? So I guess outdoor. We'll start with outdoor before you get to indoor.
Yeah, outdoor. It was getting our message out there.
Yeah.
And like we were really specific in what we wanted to do with our outdoor training. We wanted it to be a running boot camp.
Yeah.
We didn't want to be a group where you're stuck in the same patch of grass training in a 50-metre square radius for the hour. We wanted it to be where you're moving around, where you're running 6-8 Ks in a session.
Yeah.
You're training athletic, you're training, there's a lot of movement. So getting our message out there and trying to attract the fitter market, that was probably the biggest struggle. Even up until today, that's still our struggle, is getting the right message out there to the right people. And you don't have to get your message out to everyone. It's just those your niche, that's the key, to speak to that niche. And the social media has helped that a lot. When we first started, social media wasn't as big as what it is today. There wasn't social media marketing like it is. And that's really kicked things off for us and definitely helped the indoor.
100%. So what are some of the things that you think led to the success of it? Like you mentioned, obviously your point of difference and a bit of a niche, having people that are training that are a lot more motivated and I guess goal orientated. But do you reckon there's anything else that really kind of helps skyrocket? It's almost like you said, it's a good community, isn't it? Like the people that are here want to be here, and I dare say your retention is relatively high with clients.
Yeah, retention's really high, and we've always been able to maintain that. And I think a key element of our retention is when people train, they know that the people around them are going to be pushing just as hard as them. It's not really it's a training environment, so you're going to be pushed, you're going to be competitive, and I think that's what gets people through winter, it gets people through years, and like we've got, since 2008, we've still got 4 members that are with us from that day, so retention's really, really good.
Yeah.
It's like-minded people. It's not, you haven't got a very diverse fitness range in the group. It's like-minded people. That's a key element as well.
Yeah. And when you started out, so before you even put together the outdoor, was there anything that you had in mind that you thought would kind of create a successful group training business? Obviously, it's different to one-on-one PT where you're bringing a client in, working on exactly what they want, and you really got to have good one-to-one communication skills. But like, is there anything that you had in mind that you thought that you, if you did that, then that would create like a successful business?
Yeah, I did. I grew up playing footy and had a love-hate relationship with pre-season.
Yeah.
Like I loved it. It was, you get fit, shirts off, you're tanned up. It's hard work. But the feeling you get from being that fit, you fall in love with it. So. Yeah. I wanted to create like a pre-season footy type culture where it's about hard work. It's not about fun as such. It's a hard working culture.
And
that's what I wanted to bring to outdoor training. And that's why we did the running side of it. And just we tried to lift the standard of outdoor fitness, which I think we did quite successfully.
Yeah, and like you said, like with the strength and stuff like that, like we focus massively on progressive overload and stuff like that. So it's not like they're coming in to tick off the box. They're coming in and saying, you know, 3 months ago I was squatting 60 kilos, now I'm squatting 80 kilos or something like that. And even things like we've got the in-body scans coming up soon, so it gives them a good indicator of where they're at and where they can get to, and that's something that you try and push a fair bit, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And with when people are training long term, you have to have these indicators for them. Like, it's easy just to get into the habit of training. You've been here for 3 months, 4 months, and you start to plateau out. So we bring in the in-body scanners. We'll do a 60-day winter challenge that keeps people engaged with what they're doing. Engagement's such a key thing. Like, you can cruise through, but without being pushed and having that engagement, it's really a tough winter to get through, and it's a tough few months to get through over these darker months.
Yeah. If you had your time again, would you do anything differently?
Not really. Not as a whole. I think you learn a lot from failures. Like, see, I look at Sydney as it essentially failed because it didn't continue, and it was 3 years. But I looked at that and took a lot from it with how we started the indoor. Mm. So not really. I wouldn't do a lot differently. It's probably more the micro changes that come up and you have to deal with it. Just those little things like hiring of staff, you can sometimes get that wrong and it really impacts your business as a whole. Just those little things that you can learn from.
Yeah. You mentioned staff there. So like a lot of the books and podcasts and stuff that I listen to go into a lot of detail about how it's extremely important for the person at the top or the person with a vision to relay their vision and their kind of, I guess, mission statement, I guess you would call it, to their staff to make sure everyone's on the same page. How important do you think communication is with your staff members?
It's pretty important. Like if your staff, if you're not going in the right direction or the same direction, it can really disrupt your vision, your goal, your club's motto. So communication with staff is a key element of running a successful club. What you want is honesty. You want to be able to tell someone that they're not putting in. You want to be able to tell someone that they're letting the team down. Because essentially, you want to create a staff environment that is a team.
Yeah.
And you want to have that honesty system. If you're not doing the right thing or you're leaving weights out, you want to be really open and for that to not be a bigger issue than what it needs to be. It's similar to a review system in footy or in any sport. You want to have that open honesty.
Yeah.
So staff being on the same page is such a critical element. So
yeah, for sure. What's for those listening, so a lot of the members here are relatively busy people, like corporates and all that type of stuff. What's a go-to training session for someone short on time? So let's say someone's got maybe 30, 45 minutes at lunchtime to get in a session. What's something that you could recommend?
I'm old school, so I love to see people putting in absolute effort. So I'm always going to be hit, whether it's intervals on hills, whether it's a set on the oval of 200s, 400s, whatever. I'm always about the hit. So I'd say get stuck in, go hard for short periods of time, short rest periods, do it again, hit repeat, and get yourself sweating.
Awesome. Now obviously the vision for Progression Fitness is well on track after what we've just spoke about then, but what's the future plans? Is there anything that's kind of, anything's in the works or something that you've got planned for the future?
There is, yeah. There's we've seen pretty rapid growth for the indoor, with classes currently probably running at about 80% capacity. So the next step will be to expansion. Which won't be more than sort of a year away. We'd ideally like to open up new markets as well. So there's things in the pipelines, but there's nothing to be revealed today.
Maybe in a future episode. So for those that are listening that are in the Melbourne area, that would want to come in and have a try of a session, or even just come in and see what the sessions are like, how can they get in contact with you and what's the kind of process from being a non-member to becoming a member?
So we offer a four class free pass, so you can book into any of our classes. And to give you an idea of different classes we have, there's strength, boxing, HIIT, sweat class, sweat level 2, so we've got an advanced level 2 class. We've got strength and HIIT, cycle and yoga. So there's heaps of options. So you can do your 4-class pass. After you do your trial and you want to get started, we've got memberships. So we've got annual memberships, we've got month-by-month memberships, and we've also got 4, 8, 12, 25 and 50 session packs as well. So really lots of options to get started, depending on how many times a week you want to train.
Yeah, and what's the best way to get in touch? Through the website?
Through
Instagram,
the website. Or... Yeah, Instagram, Progression Fitness Club.
I'll put everything, all their contact stuff in the show notes anyway, guys. But
yeah, so through the website, Progression Fitness, check out the indoor page. It's got everything you want to see in there or what you want to find out. You can also book your trial through that page as well.
Yeah, cool. Another important thing to mention is, although there is all these different options for Progression Fitness indoor and outdoor, there is still a number of members that, you know, come in that obviously want to focus on strength and don't really care as much for cardio or the opposite or whatever, and that you still cater for all those people as well, don't you?
We do, yeah. We've got internal niches, like some people just do strength program they can do. We've got 13 strength classes a week. We've got 20 HIIT classes, so you can just focus on one area if you want.
Yeah, and strength in particular, guys, compared to other gyms, even though it is, you know, we cap it at, I think the maximum amount of people we have is 12 people, so you know, even though it's a group session, it is basically like a one-on-one PT, like we're focusing on progressive overload, compound movements. It's not a high intensity circuit class. It is a traditional strength training session. And then you have your running sessions where it's just very varied and specific to a bit of, you know, long distance, interval training, sprints, all that type of stuff as well. So it's not just a come in and work your ass off for 45 to 60 minutes and leave feeling like you've done something. Like, there is purpose behind every single class. So that's a really good point of difference. But Ben, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today, mate. If there's any questions, guys, either contact Ben through his contact details in the show notes below, or contact me and I'll pass them on to Ben. But if you're looking to come down, come and give it a try, 100%. Ben, is there anything else you want to add, mate?
No, that's it. Thanks for having me.
No problems at all. Thanks for listening, guys. Hope you've enjoyed this week's episode. If you're not subscribed to the podcast already, please do. Leave a review as well if you've enjoyed today's episode. And I look forward to chatting to you guys in next week's show.